Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you until 10 o'clock. Talking a lot of Philly so far as we continue to celebrate the signing of Bryce Harper, a move that will, you know, one way or another be a franchise changing move for this organization. I mean, this is a major turning point for the Phillies. And I think it was a great move. I mean, I know we made a lot all offseason of the stupid money comments, and, you know, I still don't think they were wise comments for John Middleton to make at the time. I think in an honest moment, John Middleton would probably agree with that and say that, you know, he probably, if he had to do it all over again, not make those comments. The pressure it put on the organization, pressure it put on his general manager from a negotiating standpoint made it difficult because, you know, the Phillies kind of were operating at a point where, you know, Scott Boras knew that it was going to be very difficult for them to go back in the end and sell this to their fan base if they were unable to secure Bryce Harper, especially after Machado went off the board. But in the end, I got to say, I don't think it was, you know, stupid money. 13 years, $30 million for a guy like this is not that absurd. I mean, the average annual value, which is really what indicates how great a player is. I mean, the fact he's getting $25.4 million a year over the course of the contract annually, average-wise, it does allow you to do other things. As Bryce Harper said in his press conference, alluding to the possibility of maybe this team going out and making a run at a Mike Trout a couple of years down the line. And I don't think it's stupid money. I think it is money well spent. I think it's a move that kind of brings this organization back to relevance, not just locally, but also nationally. I mean, you watch MLB Network over the past couple of years, which I got to say, I haven't watched MLB Network at all over the last few years. Because they didn't care about the Phillies. Phillies weren't a relevant team, even when they were good last year. The Phillies weren't entertaining. The Phillies weren't a team to be taken seriously. They are now. The Phillies are now relevant again nationally for the first time since 2011, both here in town and across the nation. And it's an awesome thing to see. And when you bring in a guy like a Bryce Harper, it legitimizes your franchise. It legitimizes what you're building. And the fact that they have these foundational pieces to build around over the next decade Harper, Hoskins, Nola, how you can possibly supplement that down the line. In fact, you still do have money to spend. Having guys in the lineup for the short term, like a Real Muto, and adding Segura, adding McCutcheon. I mean, an unbelievable offseason for this organization. I mean, we could be looking back in 5 to 10 years, and we could end up saying this was possibly the best offseason any Philadelphia team has ever had. I mean, it's that potentially impactful when you overhaul half your starting lineup, half your batting order. Every spot vastly improved. You replace Jorge Alfaro with JT Realmuto, Nick Williams with Bryce Harper, Scott Kingery / JP Crawford with Gene Segura, Carlos Santana with Andrew McCutcheon once, you know, Rhys Hoskins moves back to his normal position at first base. A tremendous offseason for the Phillies. And as we've been talking about, kind of our main point here is it sets them up to return back to greatness, sets them up for that next great era of Phillies baseball. And as you look ahead to that, you look back to that other era, 2007 to 2011. It seems like so long ago. It really wasn't. But it seems like a long time ago. And the fact that baseball was, for a little while, rivaling football for the dominant sport in this town. And it's crazy, but it really was. I mean, we were living and dying with a Phillies game in May. You know, I remember how invested you get in, you know, that 18-inning game against the Reds. I think that was like a late May, early June game back in 2011. And it's like, that's where we're heading back to. We're heading back to the Phillies being must-watch television every night. And it's a great feeling. And it makes me think back to those times. And, you know, your favorite memory from those periods. Our last caller brought up a great one. That Jimmy Rollins walk-off against the Dodgers in 09. I was at that game. It was the loudest I'd ever heard a stadium up until I was fortunate enough to go to the NFC Championship game against the Vikings. Loudest I've ever heard a stadium was when Patrick Robinson took that pick back for a touchdown, tied that game up. That stadium was literally shaking. But before that, the loudest I had ever heard a stadium was when Jimmy Rollins hit that ball into the gap. And I remember I'm sitting on the first baseline, like up kind of under the awning on the first level. And, you know, I had Sunday season tickets that year, so you get tickets to one game per series. And me and my buddy had tickets to that game 4 versus the Dodgers. And I remember Jimmy Rollins hits that ball, and first thing you're thinking is it going to drop? Because they had a runner on second, you know, are they going to tie the game? And then you see it drops. And then you see it's going to the wall. And then I look back to see where the base runner is. And Carlos Ruiz, I swear, I don't think he's ever run that fast in his life. I look back and the ball's just getting to the wall. And Carlos Ruiz is rounding third. And I'm like, they're going to win this game. It's incredible. And my friend, my friend just started literally punching me in the chest as hard as he could. Because it was that kind of incredible moment. You're just so overcome with emotion in that time. That was one of the most incredible games I've ever been to. Obviously, the Phillies took a 3-1 lead that night and ended up crushing them in Game 5 the next night. The Dodgers were mentally finished after that game. Like, you just knew after they lost that game, Broxton blew another save, that they were finished. And that was a great one. But think it back, your best memories from that 07 to 2011 great era of Phillies baseball as we head into the next great era of Phillies baseball, which I think could be and will be longer with the team that they have now. The guys as young as they are now, Harper, Hoskins, Nola, these guys are going to be good and top-level players for at least the next 7-8 years. 888-729-9494, pound 9494, AT&T, Verizon, Cell. Let's go to Mike in Westchester. What's happening, Mike?
Hey, TK, great show, man.
Thanks, man. How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. I mean, it's amazing that Harper's jersey sale broke a record, you know?
Yeah, I saw that earlier today. Bryce Harper sold more jerseys in the first 24 hours of, them going on sale than any player in any sport ever.
That's unbelievable.
It is. It's crazy.
Look how many, I mean, it's the ticket sales. I mean, what's it, like 250,000 in the first 3 days or something like that?
It's the ticket sales. The last I saw was as of yesterday, which is what, 2 days out, it was 220.
Yeah.
So 220,000 tickets since in like a 48-hour period, something like that. Insane.
Wow. I mean, it's phenomenal. I mean, it's like, I'm so excited. I mean, I think it's one of the greatest moments in history of the city. I mean, really, the greatest acquisition, I think it's bar none. Yeah, the greatest signing. But I can't. Is there any better you can think of?
No, I mean, there's not. I mean, when you think of each team, I mean, the Phillies one that I think, at least in my time, I know people have brought up Pete Rose. That was before my time, but.
Yeah.
You know, recently that I can remember, Cliff Lee was a big deal. Cliff Lee wasn't anywhere near what this is.
No.
I mean, this is insane. This is one of the top five players in the game. And you got him for the rest of his career.
So-called experts are like knocking him. And this guy is a superstar. I mean, he is going to do great with the Phillies. I mean, you have to applaud the ownership because they had the wherewithal and the guts and they wanted to go for it. And Klentak for making these deals to make this team better. You ask what expectations, Tom. I think they could win 90 games. No problem. And what I saw, if Arrieta can pitch decent, he looked pretty good so far. Maybe his knee was messed up, and that was a part of the problem.
Yeah,
he
pitches
decently.
Arrieta is an X factor for them this year. They need him at minimum be better than he was last year. I mean, and we're not asking him to be a Cy Young guy. Those days are behind him. He's not going to be that guy. But if he could be, you know, a solid guy in that rotation that you could count on behind Nola, you know, then it really helps. It takes pressure off some of those other young guys in the rotation.
It does. It really, really does. And you said, I'll tell you what, for me, and obviously you can say the 2008 World Series, I have never seen a stadium like I saw it when Halliday pitched that no-hitter against the Reds. I never. That was unbelievable.
Yeah, that was an awesome one, Mike, and I appreciate the call, man. Thanks. Yeah, that was an awesome one. The Roy Halladay no-hitter, I remember I was out at a bar with my friends for that game, and that was insane. I mean, I guess the last Phillies pitcher had pitched a no-hitter before, it was probably Millwood, back in like 03 or something like that? But that was insane. To throw a no-hitter in the playoffs is incredible. I mean, that was an awesome moment. That was a great one. And Phillies obviously went on to sweep that series. And then the Giants series, they lost. Man, and it brings back these memories and these feelings of watching those great games, those great series. I still to this day despise Cody Ross. That guy who was this average, 240 hitter for the course of his career. He's a bum, Cody Ross. But he destroyed the Phillies in that NLCS. I remember game one against Halliday. I think he homered off him twice or something like that. Cody Ross. Oh, my God. It brings back those memories. Cody Ross. I couldn't stand that guy. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. #9494 on your AT&T Verizon. So let's go to Bob in Sicklerville. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Tom, great show.
Thanks, man.
Looking at the Phillies roster, I love the way it's filled out. You know, I'm heading down to Florida this week to catch some games. And I'm just curious, looking at how Capper likes to manage his bench. What do you think he's going to do at first base when Hoskins needs a breather? Are we going to go with Andrew Knapp? Or you think we'll be creative and try a Franco or possibly even Harper? What's your thoughts there?
Well, that's interesting, Bob. And I haven't really thought of that much because Hoskins will be out there most days. I think what you could do, that could be a way to get Kingery some time. If you want to play Franco at first base on those days when Hoskins is out, get Kingery some time at third. Also, I think an interesting idea that you might want to consider, too, is, you know, for a guy like Real Muto, who has all that wear and tear behind the plate, maybe that's a way to kind of keep his bat in the lineup but not have him take all that punishment that it takes to catch. Maybe have Real Muto play a little first.
Yeah, I kind of thought that, too. I know Capper likes to get everybody multiple positions. It also brings me my final point, but also brings me to my point about my favorite memory. We don't have that rock star bench guy right now that can come in a big clutch situation. And in the case of emergency, I always want to use Stairs. So we don't have a Matt Stairs. I would love to get one, but he's my favorite moment from the 08 run.
Oh, that's a great one. That's a great one, Bob. And I appreciate it. Thanks for the call, man. That Matt Stairs homer was incredible. And it's funny because that is very similar to the Jimmy Rollins moment, both game four, the NLCS, both against the Dodgers. And, you know, maybe the play in that game that is most overlooked is they were down 5-3 and Victorino's two-run homer before that was huge. Victorino hit a line drive homer out to right to tie the game. Then I think the Phillies got some kind of weird double play. It was like a line drive, and Utley made a good play on a ball, and they got out of that inning. And then Stairs slammed a two-run homer. I mean, that's a great moment. And when you look at the bench is an interesting thing when you look at this team and how they're going to fill out this roster here. Because, you know, obviously the National League bench is still a very important part of the game as long as there is the pitcher hitting element, which we don't know how long that's going to be. By the way, that's another real possible benefit of the Harper move down the line, is the Phillies could potentially get a few more years out of Harper, save some wear and tear on his body. If the DH does come to the National League, you kind of get a head start on that. But it's going to be interesting to see how they fill out this bench, because I guess Andrew Knapp, who Nappy, as Gabe likes to call him, I'm not a huge fan of Andrew Knapp, but I guess he'll be your backup catcher. Kingery, I guess, is going to go back in that super utility role. I would like Kingery to get some playing time, but I just don't know where that playing time is going to come from. You know, if you don't trade Cesar Hernandez, which I don't think they're going to do, and, I know Gabe is talking about a competition at third base between Kingery and Franco. I think Franco is going to get the majority of the playing time there. I'm a Franco guy. I think Franco hitting in the 7-hole this year, where I think he'll be best suited to hit, I think Franco could have a really big year. So I guess Kingery will be a bench guy. And, you know, Nick Williams is the real interesting one, where what do they do with him? Because I think Roman Quinn will be here if he's healthy as a, you know, fifth outfielder type guy. But if Nick Williams sticks around, I think he's a really good asset as a fourth outfielder. He showed last year can be a really productive pinch hitter, was very good in that role last year. And that's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to step off the bench cold and come in and get big hits. And Nick Williams was very good in that role when asked to do it last year. So I'd like him, but at the same time, if the Phillies are looking to add help to the starting rotation, if they are looking to add pitching help, Nick Williams would be a guy it would make a lot of sense to move. You know, I think Nick Williams is a player who a lot of teams out there would have interest in who are looking for corner outfielders, because he's not great, but he's a starting caliber player. He's a starting level player. He'd be an improvement in right or left field for a lot of teams out there. So as much as I'd like to keep Nick Williams around as a fourth outfielder, kind of get him some time, spell McCutcheon, spell Harper, and use him as predominantly a pinch hitter, it wouldn't shock me to see Nick Williams be moved and then kind of use Aaron Altherr in that role. 888-729-9494, #9494, AT&T Verizon Cell. Talking about the Bryce Harper signing, what can we expect from the Phillies this year? What can we expect from them this season immediately? You know, we know they're going to be good over the next decade, but what can we expect this year? This is a really good division, a really competitive division. The Phillies do have some holes still, but they are so much improved offensively that I think they could win the division and get back to the postseason this year. So what is realistic to expect from them this year? What do you expect from them this year? And, you know, as we look toward this next great era of Phillies baseball, looking back at the great moments from that last era, from 2007 through 2011, and, you know, reminiscing about some of those times, I'd love to get some of those great moments from you as well. 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494, #9494 on your AT&T and Verizon cell. Rick and Adam, you guys will be first, and then we got you if you want to get in. 888-729-9494, #9494, AT&T Verizon cell. And when we get back, I do want to talk a little bit about Gabe Kapler, who was, I guess, a polarizing figure in year one as Phillies manager. What can we expect from Gabe and his evolution in year two? 888-729-9494. I'm Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you until 10 o'clock. Thank you, by the way, to Mike Tafuri, who produced the first hour of the program. Anthony Foley now in producing the rest of the way. If you want to get in, 888-729-9494, #9494, AT&T, Verizon, Cell. In addition to the Philly stuff we've been discussing, we will get in to the Sixers and their disappointing loss last night. If you want to get into that, we'll do that a little later on in the rest of the 7 o'clock hour and the 8 o'clock hour. Disappointing loss and the concerns about Brett Brown, why some of those might be validated. You know, games like last night certainly show that. So if you want to get in on the Sixers and your concerns at how that game ended as well, you're more than welcome to. 888-729-9494, #9494, AT&T, Verizon, Cell. But discussing about the Phillies and Bryce Harper, the fact that we're really on the verge of heading into the next great era of Phillies baseball. What you can expect from the team this year? Can they win the division this season? And, you know, as we look at this next great era, you look back at some of the best moments from 2007 to 2011, which seems like a long time ago, but it really wasn't that long ago. Seems like it because it seems like this team's been irrelevant for a while. But, you know, some of your best memories from that era of Phillies baseball when they were really the big show in town. 888-729-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Rick in Summers Point. What's up, Rick?
Tom, hey, man, how you doing? So I wanted to share a quick story about the 2007 Phillies, if that's all right with you.
Yeah, sure.
All right, so my dad and my brother Steven and I are listening. We had the Sunday package. You mentioned earlier that you also had the Sunday package during that era.
Yep.
We were sitting out in section 144, if you remember, the guy that used to dress like a Spartan soldier every single Sunday at the Phillies game. We sat behind him.
Okay.
And basically, we want to talk about the last game of the season. You remember, we needed to win, and the Mets needed to lose. And if you remember, the Mets game started before the Phillies National game did.
Yep.
So the Mets were playing the Marlins, and we're all sitting there in the stadium watching the electronic scoreboard. We're watching the electronic scoreboard, and we are cheering for every run scored against the Mets, and the place is rocking. And all of a sudden, the Mets are down something crazy, like 9-1.
It was, I believe, 7-0 in the first inning. I think the Marlins scored like 7 runs in the top of the first or something like that. It was something crazy.
Right, right. And so the Mets are down big. We need a win, and there's not a soul at Citizens Bank Park that thinks the Phillies are going to lose this game. And right before the game starts, Jump by Van Halen plays on the PA system, and the place becomes a party. We already won before the first pitch got thrown. We all know how it ends. We win the division. My dad always brought this big, like, professional $900 camera to the game, like the dork that he is. And he's got a great picture of Ryan Howard pointing at us. And my brother and I were, I don't know, 12 and 15 at the time, and it was a great time. And ushered in a great era of Phillies baseball. So excited for the next era, excited for tailgates to be fun again at the Phillies games. The bank is going to be rocking. The beautiful girls are going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Bryce Harper, we got him. We got him, Phillies Nation.
Yep, it's going to be awesome. Call, no man. Problem, Rick. Appreciate it. And that's a great one. Because, your mind always goes to the postseason moments. And, you know, I get that. But there were some awesome regular season moments, especially that 07 season, because that was really the first year. That was the first year they got back in the playoffs. And, you know, that was really my first time seeing the Phillies in the postseason. I always wanted to see playoff baseball. And, you know, I was like 5 or 6 back in 93. So I don't really remember that vividly. But I remember that day. I remember I was up visiting my friend. A bunch of my friends went to Shippensburg, so I'd go up there a lot to visit them during my college years. And I remember I wanted to make sure I was back early that Sunday to watch the Phillies-Nats game. And, yeah, you're watching at home, and on the scoreboard, they just keep showing the Marlins just pounding the Mets. And that was so great, because that was when the Phillies-Mets rivalry was awesome. I mean, the Phillies-Mets rivalry for that 07, 08, 09 period was great. And the best part about it was that the Phillies owned the Mets. The Phillies dominated the Mets. That was when the Mets, I think they were up 7.5 with 17 to play, and they totally collapsed. And you knew going into that day that the Mets were in trouble. And when they went out and they gave up 7 runs in the first inning, the Marlins just jumped all over them. And you just kind of knew that the Phillies were going to win it, because the Phillies were going up against the Nats. I believe Moyer started that day, and the Nats were still, you know, just getting off the ground at that point. They were still in the infancy stages, so they weren't a good team yet. They were still like a 9,500 loss team. So that was a great one. When you knew the Mets were going to lose, you knew the Phillies just needed to win to get back to the postseason, and they were able to get it done. That was a great memory. Unfortunately, they weren't able to do much in the playoffs when they faced Colorado. That was kind of a frustrating series. But that was a great memory, that 07 season finale, when the Phillies got back to the playoffs for the first time in 14 years. 888-729-9494. Let's go to Adam in West Virginia. What's up, Adam?
How you doing, Tom?
Good. How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Psyched about this Bryce Harper signing. It's almost unreal. Like, I can't get over it, because all the rumors were throwing me off. I was ready to jump ship, honestly. And then the next day, I think, they announced it. I was actually just turned on radio.com to listen to you guys, and guys were announcing it. And I was just, like, screaming throughout my house. It was – I'll probably never forget that moment.
Yeah, it was nuts. I got a text from my brother, and then I immediately – I'm like, oh, he's an idiot. He must have seen a wrong report. You know, so I immediately go to Twitter, and I couldn't believe it was real. I really couldn't, because, I like everybody else, the beginning of last week, I thought it was done. I thought he was going somewhere else. I thought the Phillies weren't going to get him.
Yeah, absolutely. And him bringing up, like, Mike Trout and all that, and, like, everybody wants him here. They're assuming he wants to play for the Phillies. Wouldn't you think that the Phillies would have an advantage with the Angels in that situation? Because if the Angels can't get a extension set, they might flat out ask them, like, do you plan on going to Philly? And the Phillies would have leverage then, because wouldn't you think the Angels would want to get something in return instead of just letting him walk in free agency? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's very interesting, Adam. And I think that the Angels are in a tough spot where, you know, the Angels, if they're having another bad year here, which I don't think they're going to be very good, if they're having another bad year and they get the sense that Trout isn't going to re-sign, they need to trade him. Whether it be at the deadline or next offseason, they need to trade him. And I don't know if that necessarily means they trade him here. They're going to trade him wherever they get the best offer. But the Phillies would have to feel confident in their ability to re-sign him. And if I look at the potential to acquire Mike Trout, other than Bryce Harper, Rhys Hoskins, and Aaron Nola, anybody else in the organization is on the table. Anybody. And, you know, I'd give up whatever it takes to go get him, because if you get him here, if you're willing to pay him the money, which the Phillies would be, I think he'd resign, certainly.
Doesn't he have a full no-trade clause?
You know, he might. He might. I'm not sure. But if you're Mike Trout, though, and say the Yankees are in first place and they're knocking on the door, why wouldn't he accept the trade there?
Absolutely, because I don't even think he's played in the playoffs, right?
Well, he played 1 year and they got swept out. He's never won a playoff game. He's been in one time, they got swept. But other than that, you know, that's an aging roster and they have a lot of money committed. I don't see the Angels as being a team able to turn this thing around.
Wow. So Harper's just going to allow us possibly to help recruit, bring in some of his buddies and friends he knows around the league. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. You have a moment from me for me, Adam, from that 2007-11 period?
I would say the Matt Stairs.
Okay, Matt Stairs.
Dodgers.
Homer.
Yeah, I was on the radio actually driving, and I heard that, and, man, I had to pull over. I was yelling. It was amazing.
Yeah, that's a great one, Adam. I appreciate the call, man. Thanks. And, you know, I know a lot of people get on Joe Buck. I love Joe Buck. I think he's great at football, great at baseball. I've always been a Joe Buck fan, and his call of that homer was tremendous. That was such an amazing moment, because that was really, you know, the Phillies won the first round series against Milwaukee, and then remember game three, they won the first two games here, then game three they got blown out. And, you know, you're kind of worried that maybe, you know, their pitching staff wasn't good enough. Remember that year, and this is why I put more stock into offense than pitching, is you remember, you know, those 07-08, that 08 team, the pitching staff behind Cole Hamels was Brett Myers, Jamie Moyer, Joe Blanton. You know, I'd rather have an offensive team. I think it's more fun to watch. And I think, you know, in the end, I think you need to score runs in the playoffs. I think that wins more than pitching does. But, you know, that was really the moment when they won game four of that series. That was the moment in my mind that really told you they have a real chance here. Like, they can really do this. They can win the World Series this season. And then they were able to win game five the next night and then play Tampa in the World Series. But that was an unbelievable moment when Matt Stairs hit that homer, becomes a Philly legend forever by hitting that home run. So we'll continue taking your greatest memories from that 2007 to 2011 period of Phillies baseball. Let's go to Jennifer in Hatfield. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, Tom. How are you tonight? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, Jennifer. How you doing?
Good, good. I am so excited. I just bought tickets to the Nationals game, and I cannot wait.
That's going to be a good one. It's going to be cool to see Harper play against the Nationals, certainly going down there. He's going to get booed, without a doubt. But, yeah, that rivalry now is going to be amped up to another level, I think.
Absolutely. I was wondering, how many years out do you think we are from the parade?
I mean, that's tough to say. Baseball is a hard one to really handicap, because it once you get into the postseason, it is very, you know, it's a lot of randomness, because it's what makes the baseball playoffs great, that you can get in as a wild card team and you can go on a run and get to a World Series. But as far as, you know, potential, once you get in, any team really has a shot. And I think the Phillies could be back in the playoffs this year. So, I mean, they could be legitimate contenders as early as this year, I think. I really do believe that.
I hope so. Like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. I've been a fan. I can still remember as a kid in the 70s just listening to KYW and Harry and Richie calling the games. So I am really psyched. But one of my favorite memories from the 2000 era, I remember getting to the train station, and I thought we got there in plenty of time. The lineup for the train was a mile long, and I managed to grab my sister and say, let's jump on the train. Got on the train. You couldn't move the whole way.
The day of the parade, you know, you're talking about.
The
right?
Day of the parade.
Wow.
And it was so exciting. You were packed in there. Literally, I was leaning against the door of the train because there were so many people on there. And it was a free ride down and a free ride back. And most of the people were trying to buy tickets to get on the train. And I felt so bad that I jumped the train, but I got on, we went down, and it was fabulous. Oh, my God. We had such a wonderful time, and I can't wait to do it again.
Yeah, that was an awesome parade. I appreciate the call, Jennifer. Thanks. That was an awesome day. That was The first parade I got a chance to go to was the Phillies parade, and that was a heck of a time. I had a great time that day. Eagles parade, I had to work. I was working that day for the Eagles parade, so I didn't get to have as much fun, but still a great time. But yeah, that Phillies parade was a pretty incredible memory. 888-729-9494 if you want to get in as we look forward to this next era of Phillies baseball, this next great era of Phillies baseball, your favorite memories from that last era from 2007 to 2011, and just your thoughts on Phillies baseball officially being back and relevant and expectations for this season with Bryce Harper. And when we get back, I wanted to talk about this segment. We'll talk about it next segment a little bit. Gabe Kapler in year two with a much different team, what we can expect from Gabe this year. Chris, you'll be first after the break. 888-729-9494, #9494, AT&T, Verizon, Cell. I'm Tom Kelly with you till 10. Thanks to Anthony Foley for digging that up. That was Joe Buck on Fox, that Matt Stairs homer. It's a great call. Just, you know, that's why I like Joe Buck. Understated, you know, doesn't go totally insane, but that was a tremendous call. What a great night that was. Phillies end up winning that game, and that was really the exclamation point in the series. Those series over the Dodgers, and the Phillies own the Dodgers still. The Phillies, you know, beat the Dodgers in the NLCS 2 years in a row. Now they beat the Dodgers in, you know, getting Bryce Harper. The Dodgers' offer for Harper was pretty significant, too. I mean, short term, only 4 years, but 4 years, 180, would have paid him an average of $45 million a year. I mean, that speaks a lot to the fact that Bryce Harper really wanted, as he said during his press conference, somewhere where he could grow, you know, somewhere where he could build, be for a long time, didn't want an opt-out, wanted the no-trade clause. Because, hey, I bought into that narrative that he wanted to, you know, be out west, that he didn't necessarily want to play in Philadelphia. And that turned out completely not to be the case because, you know, if that was the case, he easily could have taken that deal from the Dodgers, easily could have taken that 12-year deal from the Giants, but instead opted to come to Philadelphia on a 13-year contract, gave him the record of 330. But when you look at the average annual value of that deal, certainly not absurd at all. 888-729-9494, #9494. I'm Tom Kelly with you until 10 o'clock. And I'll get back to the phones in 1 second here, but I do want to touch on Gabe Kapler because a lot of people have, you know, had differing opinions on Gabe and what Gabe did last year. And I was impressed with Gabe Kapler last season. I thought Gabe Kapler as a whole did a good job with this team with limited resources. Because, you know, as we've talked about, the fact of the matter is that was not a playoff caliber roster last year. It just wasn't. I mean, they played above their head for 3.5 months. They got really good pitching. Nola was just ridiculous, where he's an automatic win one every 5 days, where you're not going to be able to rely on that all the time. And the lineup just was not good enough. They didn't have enough offense to win. And, you know, I know a lot of people were very critical of Gabe and the way he would maneuver all the time with the lineup, and he would move guys around to different spots in the order, would move guys around to different positions on the field to kind of get his best bats in the lineup or his best matchups on any given day. And I've heard a lot of people express concern about Gabe maybe being too hands-on this year. But I think we're going to see a much different Gabe Kapler in year two. I do. I think this is, you know, I think Gabe Kapler being so hands-on last season was a byproduct of him just not having the kind of talent that he needed to be successful. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. Going into this season, I think Gabe Kapler has a roster that is a lot easier to manage. And I don't think he's going to need to make the kind of maneuvering moves that he made last year. You know, some of the things I thought were ridiculous, like at the end of the year, pinch hitting for Scott Kingery before he even has an at-bat. I think that was a little over the top. But this year, you know, you look at the lineup, and it is going to be much easier for him to just plug and play. It's going to be a lot easier to just say, hey, you know, most days it's going to be the same starting eight. They're going to be hitting in the same spots in the order. Obviously, you'll move it around from time to time. But I don't think the concerns about Gabe and being too hands-on are going to play as much a role as some people do. I think that Gabe is going to be much, I think he's going to be much more conventional this year. Because he does have those kind of players that are established, are elite, and it'll be much easier for him to just plug and play. So I'd love to get your thoughts on Gabe Kapler, your impressions of him in year one, and what you think about him going into year two. I think it's going to be much easier for him, and I think he's going to be much less of a factor this year than he was last year, certainly when it comes to making the lineup. 888-729-9494, #9494, AT&T, Verizon. So also, what do you think this team is what is it a reasonable expectation of the Phillies this season? And your best memories as we look forward to this next great era of Phillies baseball, your favorite memories from that other era from 07 to 11. 888-729-9494. Back to the phones. Chris in Dover. What's up, Chris?
Hey, T. Kelly, what's up?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Great, great subject. I got so much, I don't know where to start, but I want to save my memories for the end, okay?
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, Bryce Harper's with the Phillies. The Phillies are relevant again for the first time in 7 years, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. Despite the run and being a contender last year, it wasn't exciting to watch. And I didn't want to go to a game, to be totally honest with you, which a lot of people didn't. Just look at the attendance and the games on TV, right? But they were still in contention in August. And they took Bryce Harper away from the Nationals, our fierce rival in the same division.
Yeah, that makes it even sweeter, doesn't it, Chris, that you take him away from a division rival? And it's funny because my uncle is a Nationals fan. He moved down there a while ago. He had season tickets to the Nationals. He says, oh, Harper's not that good. Like, okay. You know, they're just bitter that Harper left the Nationals. But it's great to take him from a division rival. And it's going to make that rivalry even that much better now.
It's going to be tremendous. Have you ever been down to a Nat game when we own that park?
I haven't. I really want to do that. I went up to Shea in the last year of Shea. To a Phillies Mets game in 08. That was awesome. I need to go down to a Nationals game, though.
It's a beautiful park, a nice ride, and we own, you heard it on the TV, we own that stadium when we travel there.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And I remember, I guess it was 2011 when the Phillies opened down there, and there must have been more Phillies fans down there than Nationals fans that day.
There was.
Before the Nationals were any good, yeah.
That's what I mean, again, relevant, and we took him from the Nats. It's incredible. And this offseason, the moves, I know we're talking about it, but are we really thinking? This is one of the great offseason moves overall, what a Philly team has brought in. It could go down as one of the great offseasons ever.
Yeah, Chris, I mean, you look at it, they literally changed half their lineup. I mean, they replaced four spots in their lineup with, you know, when you look at Real Muto, Segura, and Harper, top-notch, all-star caliber players. McCutcheon, yeah, more toward the tail end of his career, but they replaced four players in their lineup with top-quality talent. It's incredible.
We're going to love this guy. Real quick, I heard the interview the other day down there at Clearwater with Boris and all that. Mm-hmm. I know you heard, obviously, right, the interview, and just listening to this guy with the number change and why he picked it and just everything about it, we're going to love this guy. We hated him, and now we're going to love him.
Yeah, he knocked that introductory press conference out of the park, Chris. That was really impressive. Whether people had, you know, bad impressions of Bryce Harper in the past, you know, I'm sure he's matured over the years. He came off great there. What do you got for a memory for me?
This memory, it's a great one, but a sad one. But I was there. I'll try to put it real quick if you can give me a minute.
Sure.
2011, NLDS, Game 5, Carpenter and Doc Halliday.
This is, that's an awful memory, Chris.
I know it was. I was there, split a game package that year with a buddy. I got that game, and he was going to get the next series if they advanced. So I was able to go to that game, unfortunately, right? I'm there, upper deck, 400 level. You remember the game, I'm sure.
Yeah, I do. Yep.
2-1, final. Doc Holliday goes 8 innings. Carpenter outduels him.
It was actually 1-0, Chris. 1-0
final. I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah. It was 1-0. You're right. I apologize.
No,
1-0. Carpenter throws the complete game against his former teammate, best friend.
Yep.
And I moved down with my daughter. It was about 8 or 9 at the time. It was me, my daughter, my wife. Moved down. My wife leaves the game in the 7th inning, disgusted. I said, I'll meet you at the car. I moved my daughter down to the first level, Tom, to watch the last 2 innings because I wanted to be close to the action in a 1-0 game.
Mm-hmm.
And we're down there, and you know what happened in the last at-bat, of course.
Yep, Ryan Howard, yep.
So not only did we lose the game, we lost the series. My daughter's crying on the way home, doesn't understand. She's 9 years old. Ryan Howard, we lose 2 legends. And Ryan Howard and Doc Holliday were never the same players, really, after that game.
No, and I appreciate the call, Chris. Sorry, got to run. But, yeah, that game was awful. We got to hit the break here. We'll talk about that a little bit when we get back. That was one of the most crushing losses ever, any sport in my lifetime. See all you guys on hold. We'll run through the calls when we get back as well. 888-729-9494, #9494. Getting your best memories from 07 to 11. That was kind of a downer a little bit, but still part of it as well. That was really the end of the run. But as we look forward to this next great Phillies run, the great memories from that last great Phillies run. 888-729-9494. I'm Tom Kelly with you till 10. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.